Yeah, they were super, and they look a dangerous team. I don't think they've been particularly lucky or anything. I mean, they bat so deep, don't they? And they bat so positively that they could win any against any side. And they're like a puncher with a really, really serious punch, a boxer rather. They have some weaknesses, particularly in the bowling, but they can damage any side. And in 2020, you could probably minimise those weaknesses in the bowling and make up for them with such aggressive batting. Got Adil Rashid at number 10, haven't they, yesterday? It just means there's so much scope for continuing the assault on the bowlers. And that's what we saw yesterday, despite a little hiccup.
Yeah, our batting's been ahead of our bowling over the last few months, but some great death bowling from Ben Stokes and Chris Jordan yesterday. I think it's the best bowling at the death I've seen from an England team in 2020s.
Well, I mean, they're going in the right direction. It's only a few games since Jordan was being derided by people, certainly on Twitter. I mean, I really do think he's a very, very talented cricketer, and it just shows what happens if you stick with people and allow them to feel comfortable in what they're doing. And I think, actually, there are a few other people who could have done the role as well, who aren't in the squad at the moment. So I think the benefits of players feeling comfortable in the environment and feeling backed and supported are pretty obvious. And we saw that yesterday. And the nice thing, again, about Ben Stokes just continues to improve. How old is he? 24, 25? I mean, what a future that fella has. There's no more exciting young cricketer in the world, and it's great that England have him. And Chris Jordan's obviously, you know, a three-dimensional cricketer as well. His field is ridiculous. I mean, you never think he's going to drop a ball, do you? And it adds such a lot in that format of the game in particular.
A word as well from you, George, on Jason Roy, because everybody's sort of like chatting about him this morning in the papers. It's given the sub-editors the chance to do Roy of the Overs as a headline. Very, very successful on a brutal display yesterday.
Yeah, and it won't happen all the time. Funnily enough, who was it was saying the other day? Ian Bell was talking the other day, and he said something about playing with Brendan McCullum, who obviously is... has been hugely influential. The McCullumisation of English cricket is a subject that hasn't been written about enough. But the way he destroyed England as captain in New Zealand in the World Cup, and then the way that he his team changed and the way that they played against England at the start of 2015 in England, it really changed the way that England thought about cricket, and they saw that they could do things differently. So McCullum played for Warwickshire last year, and he was saying that he reckoned the aggressive way he came and played could come off about once in seven. One in seven.
Wow.
Now, Jason Roy is playing a very similar brand of cricket. It is all-out aggressive attack, just about, really, anyway. And it means that we've got to understand that he will fail quite often. Now, one in seven seems a bit extreme, but if he comes off one in four or five, then I think we've got to think he's done a pretty good job. And it means... us in the media, those of us who love and support the game as spectators, maybe we've got to change our mindsets a bit. Because, you know, if we want them to play this fearless attacking style, then we have to understand they're going to fail sometimes. And it may be that they fail in the final. But Lord, from where they were a year ago, and I think a year ago I was still in Australia and New Zealand, reporting on the debacle of that World Cup, they've come on brilliantly. You know, to get to the final is a huge achievement and great, but you know, they could definitely win it. But even if they don't, even if they have a shocker, I think, you know, we need to pat them on the back and say well done and look forward to a bright future.
Yeah, Roy's taken the headlines today, but Joe Root, 27 not out, Yorkshire batsman of course, and he's the top run maker in the tournament now. How important is it to have that batsman who maybe doesn't play the explosive brand of cricket that we saw from Roy yesterday, but just keeps the scoreboard ticking over and stays in as well?
Well, he can do anything, can't he? I mean, that's the thing. He's just ridiculous. I mean, he just keeps on getting better. And he keeps on playing the innings that's required. If you need him to go into Test cricket and bat for your life, you know, bat all day, defend all day, he'll do that. If you need him to come in a 2020 game like yesterday and just, you know, rotate the strike, keep his head, be calm, he'll do that. But earlier in the tournament, he played an absolutely brilliant, brutal innings, full of inventive shots. He can do everything. I mean, he is an absolute gem of a player. And again, he's 25. I mean, his future's ridiculous. England have done very well. Yorkshire cricket, yep, deserve a hell of a lot of credit. And he's not the only player, obviously, who they've produced. I think Gary Balance will be back in the Test team within a few weeks, really. And, you know, they've obviously got Adil Rashid and Liam Plunkett and people there. David Willey. Not that they can take a lot of credit for that, I suppose. But, yeah, they've done really well. And he is an absolute gem. It's really exciting. I just hope one word of caution that he's looked after, and we don't ask too much of him, because at the moment he's probably the first name on the team sheet in all three formats of the game, and that's a hell of an ask.
Looking ahead then, Sunday, the final is obviously between England and either West Indies or India. We'll find out that a little bit later on today. Who would you prefer? Would you prefer, because India on home soil in front of 100,000 people at Eden Gardens, I would imagine it's going to be a tall ask. But then West Indies with Chris Gayle, if he's on form, equally tough.
Yeah, I don't mind. I don't think England will mind. I mean, in some ways, it would be nice for West Indies cricket, because we know that they're struggling in some ways, to prove that the talent is still there, because there really is a lot of talent in the Caribbean. And you know, they've just won the Under-19 World Cup, and they clearly have this talented group of players. And, you know, it takes an awful lot of hard work for the West Indies cricket board to screw up the huge amount of talent they have, but by God, they can do it. So it would be quite nice for cricket for the West Indies to, you know, India are obviously a brilliant team. The funny thing about India is, I think they'll be under much more pressure than anyone else, because they're kind of expected to get to the final and pretty much expected to win. And England are, you know, this is bonus territory for England. They're in the final. They'll be loving it. And the hostility of that crowd, they'll feed on that. They'll enjoy it. It'll just seem like great energy to them. And for India, I don't know, there's a huge amount of pressure on there. I think they're both very, very dangerous sides, and whoever England play, you know, whoever the opponent is, they'll be favourites. England definitely go into it as underdogs. But both of them will be nervous of that batting order and that style of play, because England have a hell of a punch.
Big success for the England men's team, but the women's team crashing out of the World 2020. And the women's coach, Mark Robinson, has accused his players of a lack of fitness, George.
Yeah, he's a gem. He's absolutely right. He's only really recently taken over. And he's got some pretty tricky issues to deal with there. Basically, the rest of the world have caught up, and that's kind of a good thing in the great scheme of things. English cricket was ahead for a while. Women's cricket was ahead for a while, and now it's not. And that's not bad. It just means they need a bit of a kick. I think some of them have got a bit cozy. There's a couple of people in that side, women in that side, who have... I don't know what they do. I don't know what Daddy Wyatt does. I don't know what she contributes. She doesn't really bowl. She doesn't really bat. I don't know what she does. And she seems to have been in and out of the side for years. There's a few you could say that. They're horribly reliant upon Charlotte Edwards still. I think she's 36. And she's got knees made out of poppadom, and that is quite an uncomfortable place to be. So I think the truth spoken by Mark Robinson yesterday is a real breath of fresh air, and that's exactly what you need. You know, if you're going to improve, you first need to reflect and see what your weaknesses are. And I think they need quite a lot of honesty in that system. But you know, semi-finals, it's not a car crash, is it? It's the basis for improvement. They have quite a young squad, but there's a catalogue of batting collapses that they've had there. Their fielding yesterday was just nowhere near as good as the opponent, and their running between the wickets was nowhere near as good. And they lost by what? It was five, wasn't it? So it clearly the margins are quite small. They really could have won, but for a bit more fitness, and I think calm ahead.
Knees made out of poppadoms is a term I'm going to be thinking about all day now.
George, well, it's not her fault, of course, but you know what I mean. It's just that you know, all the miles are beginning to show in those legs, and yet England is still reliant on her. Every time she's out, pretty much, England have a batting collapse. I mean, they collapse like poppadoms as well. And as I say, I think there needs to be a bit of reality about some of the people in that side and what they contribute, because, you know, I've been watching them for years, and I honestly don't know what one or two of those players do.